Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Corey.
I'm Garrett.
And we are a father-son digging into God's Word, and we are glad that you have come in to eavesdrop on that conversation. We're in the second of our study on praying for brethren, Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And we saw a few things that Paul had been making requests to God on behalf of the church at Philippi about him. In verse 9, that they love one another, that they have real knowledge of God's Word, and that they have discernment or moral insight to practically apply it. But in verse 10, he's going to tell us the fourth thing that he's requesting for them, and then get into the reasoning behind why he's praying all this that will push on into verse 11 as well. But verse 10 for today says, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ.
Yeah, so he's been given this list. We talked about last time that he's praying for their love, that it may abound, that he prays for their knowledge, that it would abound, that their discernment, that it would abound. And then this is the last in that list, that he would, so that you may approve the things that are excellent. What are the things that are excellent here in verse 10?
Well, he wants them to start to think right so that they will act right. And when you go to the end of the book, we talked about in the idea with the petition verbs, you've got these two women that are not acting right, and that's causing the problem with the whole church. So in chapter 4, verse 2, read verse 2 and 3 for us.
Yeah, verse 2 and 3 says, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life.
See, when two people fight, what generally happens is the people around them pick sides. And the expectation of the two people fighting is for you to pick a side. You're either with me or you're with her, you know. It ought not be that way. It's not going to help anything. But that's sometimes the attitude that we have. So to approve what is excellent are the things that he's asked about in verse 9. It's love, and it's knowledge, and it's discernment. And then in chapter 4, when you push on down past where those petition verbs are, yeah. He talks about some of those things that we ought to be focused on that are more excellent.
Yeah, he says to focus on these excellent things in chapter 1 and verse 10, but he gives this whole list beginning in chapter 4 and verse 8. He says, whatever is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. So instead of being, maybe self-centered or lacking love or lacking understanding and knowledge and some of those things, he says instead, fill it with what is true and right and lovely and honorable and good reputation.
Yeah, and it's like so many things that we could talk about. There's balance. We're not just talking about bringing balance to the force. We're talking about bringing balance in ministry and in the church and in our lives and how important that word balance is. But, sometimes we want to run to the side of truth and I'm going to tell the truth and I'm going to beat them over the head. And whatever they do with it, they do with it. Well, that's not, Paul says to the church at Corinth, we persuade men. Mm-hmm. There's a way to teach the truth that's right, which means there's a way to teach the truth that's wrong. Always swing the pendulum all the way to the other side of it. It's all about getting along. And there's a balance between the love of verse 9 and the truth, the knowledge and discernment of verse 9. That's how we can approve what is excellent, is by having that proper balance of knowing what God's Word says and then caring enough about each other that we're helping each other grow in that. And he says, the reason I'm wanting you to do all that is so that you can be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, which would indicate if we don't have a balance between love and truth, we're not pure, we're not blameless, and we're not ready for the day of Christ.
Yeah, and that's a huge, I think that's a huge tone shift. If the goal is to have change and to prick their hearts, then, you know, coming to with them is the, don't you know any better? You know, like that kind of tone of, you know, you should know better and kind of a hateful attitude is so different than, you know, hey, I love you too much to let you keep doing this. You know, so let's talk about it and let's see if we can focus on some better things that help our attitude. It's a huge tone difference and a shift in the way that Paul chooses to go about these things. The scripture doesn't still want us to have empty lives, and so he doesn't tell us to take something out without putting something back in. And so he says, instead, focus on the negative and the things that maybe are separating you and causing division. Instead, think on the things that are lovely and think on the things that are going to be unifying and helpful in your relationship instead of divisive, that may tear you apart.
Yeah, and we've got to understand that we need to be living our life in light of the view that Jesus is coming back. We got to be prepared for mm-hmm. that day when it comes. Our preaching ought to look back to Jesus and what he did for us, you know, like he did when he wrote, you know, Romans 6.
Yeah.
But our preaching also ought to look forward to Jesus and his coming back. You know, we sing a song sometimes, there's a great day coming, a great day coming. Then we sing, there's a sad day coming, a sad day coming. Now, we don't usually preach that very much anymore, but we ought to.
Yeah.
You know, Paul is constantly preaching on this. And now, this is the second time in the first few lines of a letter. If you go back up to verse 6, he mentions the bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. That's talking about the day that Jesus returns. And now the second time he's talking about the day of Christ, the day he returns. So, you know, again, we're talking about the introduction and what kind of tone are you setting? The tone he's setting is, I'm thankful for you and I love you and I want you to love each other and be focused on truth. But another big focus in this introduction is, all right, we need to set the tone of the reason that this needs to be straightened out is because you're not ready for Jesus to come back right now.
Because it's not straightened out right now.
That's right. And you need to get it that way. So, you know, what we preach is God loves you, shall we stand and sing?
Yeah.
And God does love us. But we also need to preach, you got to be ready. And you got to make ready before he comes back. And, you know, I don't know when Jesus is coming back, and it may be a long time in the future. But I know at my age, the likelihood of my day of Jesus is going to be, you know, it could be when a bus runs over me, or it could be a heart attack, or it could be a number of things.
Right.
But I've got to be ready before that day comes.
Well, and that's, you know, you talk about putting an emphasis on Jesus. And I mean, this book is saturated with, you know, talking about Jesus, but he also, because of that, points to his example, and we'll get more into that when we get in chapter 2, but chapter 2 and verse 5 says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Jesus Christ. He's going to keep going back to, because the Lord is returning, and because this is not straightened out right now, you know, we need to continue to have the attitude that Jesus had. And the attitude that Jesus had when he was on earth was not, let me prove you wrong, you know, or, you know, let me beat you over the head with truth and make you, you know, he would have had every right to. In fact, he's probably the only person on earth that would have had the right to look down on people and, don't you know any better, and you're not as good as me kind of thing. But that's not the attitude that he had. And so, you know, if we're going to straighten this out, Jesus didn't have that attitude. So if Jesus didn't, then we definitely shouldn't.
Yeah. So verse 9 and 10 really sets the tone for the whole letter. And verse 11 is the goal. And we'll get to that in our study tomorrow, Lord willing. We hope you'll be here for that. Hope you'll like, share, comment, subscribe, all the things on social media and podcasts, wherever you get them that you need to, so that you can be up to date and that you can share the word about this podcast. We hope that you'll dedicate 5 to 10 minutes to us every day as we study together in God's word while you're driving down the road, getting ready for school, riding on a lawnmower during the afternoon, or whatever it might be that you're doing, that you will spend some time with us as we seek to see the message that God has given us in His Word, because on Scripture Spotlight, the text is the star of the show.